It's Tuesday evening, February 10th, 8:48 in New York. I'm Serene Roberts, acting momentarily as the convener of the Pacifica Rape Archives Task Force. If each person can take a moment to just say who they are, you know, the station or business affiliation, and we can get started. Then I'll jump at once. Brian?
Oh, okay. So this is Brian DeShazer, and I'm the director of the Pacifica Radio Archives.
This is Mark Torres. I'm senior producer and operations director of the Pacifica Radio Archives, a staff member since 1990.
This is Teresa Allen from KPFT, and I am just pleased as punch to be here.
This is Janice Lane. You are from Twin Cities. Sorry for the delay.
Hi, Janice.
Hey.
Steve?
Yeah, I'm here, Steve Pride from KBFK.
And I'm Serene Roberts from WBI New York. And I'm calling the meeting to order and asking for suggestions for pro temp chair, and that person will then take over. Anyone?
Can I nominate you, Serene?
You can, but I would decline.
Oh.
I can do it from you. I can do it from now on, if you like.
Sure.
Do you want to meet? Do you want to meet on a monthly basis, or every other month, or what?
Oh, we actually have an agenda which I will send to you. You weren't on the list, that's why you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you can call for nominations for a secretary for the evening, and I'll send this to you in the meantime.
Okay. All right. So we've got Janice, Steve, Mark, Brian, and Serene. Is there anyone else I'm missing? Okay. And I would imagine that we'll have some other board members that want to be on this committee once the LSBs and the PNB ask. So, does anybody want to take minutes?
I won't say I want to, but I will tonight, Teresa, because you've stepped forward, and unless someone volunteers right away, we're going to lose time. So,
okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, I cannot because I only have one working hand, so my typing is sucky.
Well, fortunately, I really didn't hear that excuse, so I'm just going to keep moving.
I played the handicap card.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, is the minutes on? Is the agenda on kpftx.org?
No, it's not. I just emailed it to you.
All right. Okay.
And while you're pulling that up, Teresa, I just want to ask. I heard Teresa, Janice, Brian, Serene, Stephen, and someone else.
Mark. Mark Torres from the Pacifica Radio Archives staff.
Great. Okay.
And as I understand it, the people that are missing tonight are Adriana, Jim Krafka, and Frank Lefevre.
And Lamont
Lakey.
Yeah, and since KPFK has already had its collect committee selections, we do it in January, Lamont and I are both permanent.
Okay.
And Jim's last name is what?
Krafka, K-R-A-F-K-E. But I'm not sure he'll want to continue on it. I don't know. Could be not.
Okay. Thank you.
We need to work on that.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Here are the notes from PRA, and here is the... I'm looking for the agenda here. This is a lot of stuff here. This is a note.
Yeah, those are my expanded notes based on the agenda. So just the big bullet points were the agenda items, Teresa. So it was like one, overview of PRA staff, two, projects, 3 income streams, 4 current financial status, and then the little bits of fund drive performance, late payment of central services and premium bills, and the National Finance Committee crisis provisos.
Okay. Well, because these don't have numbers on them, I'm a little bit challenged, but let me put this on a document and let's get started. So help me out just a little bit. What was the first item then?
Copy.
Overview of the archive staffing.
Okay.
And maybe, Teresa, if I could just request to make an opening statement of why we're here, then maybe we can, that would be helpful.
Okay.
And, Teresa, you don't have to take this down. That's why you have me as secretary, remember?
Okay, I understand.
Just keep going.
I just need to be able to read these things. Okay. So, staffing, is that the first one that you see?
Yes.
Okay. So, you want to talk about staffing, Brian?
Sure. I guess the agenda item was just to give an overview of the archive staffing. But before I do that, I just wanted to say that we're convening here today to respond to a February 8th National Board of Directors motion for me, the director of the archives, to identify new unbudgeted revenue streams or make budget cuts of $9,000 per month. And that report back is due February 13th, this Friday. So the archive staff has been working hard at first and foremost identifying revenue streams to keep us in order and providing services to the stations. So with that, the staffing is identified as in 3 categories: administration, production, and archival preservation. Mm-hmm. So administration is full-time director, a 3/4-time business manager, 1/4 of her time goes to KPFK, and a full-time office administrator and outreach coordinator who does all the financial orders and connect with the listeners and donors. In production, it's a full-time senior producer and ops director, which is Mark Torres, who's joining us. Full-time production coordinator who does duplication, manufacturing, labeling, and shipping and handling of all premiums and services to stations and the public. Mm-hmm. And then in the archives preservation world, we have just new in the past 2 years a full-time archivist with an MLIS degree, a full-time archivist with a moving image archiving and preservation degree, a master's, and a full-time temporary cataloger specific to our National Archives grant. So that's it for the overview of staffing with any questions.
All right, so it's the archivist and cataloger that is paid by the grant. The others are paid through Pacifica?
No, they're all paid through Pacifica, but they are the match to the grant. So the archivist, number one, who's on the grant, is 100% booked as paid for by Pacifica, but booked as the match to the grant. Archivist number two, 30% of his time is booked as the match, but 100% of his time is actually on the project. The temporary archivist is doing cataloging, and that ends March 31st.
Okay. So is there any action you want us to take on this issue of administration, or staffing, I should say?
Not with that, but the 3 things that we wanted to get out of this meeting, or at least to help you guys help us, is respond to that motion. I think the pickle that we're in is that motion was passed without an impact statement or consequences of making those kind of cuts, and what does that actually do to the impact of not only the archives unit, but to the rest of the stations that are reliant on our services to provide them with more than $600,000 a year in revenue.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, when we met last, and Raul gave a presentation he said that the archives was $40,000 surplus last year. Is that right, Brian?
I don't know how I got that number. I don't know that.
He said KPFA was $491,000 deficit. KPFK was $315,000 deficit. KPFT was $51,000 deficit. WBAI $36,000 deficit. WPFW $309,000 deficit. National office was $572,000 surplus, and the archives was a $40,000 surplus.
I would actually have to question that because I know that we did not receive over $150,000 of central services to our budget. So maybe it's because we didn't spend. I would have to question that amount again or figure out how that was resolved.
Okay, so tell me that one more time. You didn't get...
Last year we didn't receive all of the central services from the stations, and I think the total that we received in last year's budget was only $127,000, and it was supposed to be $250,000 approximately.
Okay, so you got $127,000 last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Janice.
Okay.
I would have to agree with you, Brian, that noting a surplus in the fiscal year seems quite improbable given the number of the amount that's still due by stations.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and you were I may ask you to is that motion somewhere in all this that you just sent me?
No, that's a PNB motion that happened on February 8th.
Okay. All right. To February 8th of 15, a PNB motion. Well, if somebody can send me that, I'd appreciate it for the future.
It's January 8th.
January the 8th.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Thank you. All right. Okay, the next item is projects. Who's going to talk about projects?
I can. I'll run down them, and then I might stop and let Mark mention something that he's been working more with. So first and foremost, the projects that the staff is working on is the NHPRC federal grant project, the American Women Making Culture.
Excuse me, Brian, recognize that I'm taking notes.
Oh,
so
sorry.
So when you use alphabet soup, it's not helpful.
Okay. These are also
in the
notes.
The agenda. Yeah, this is already in the notes.
Oh, okay, sorry. I don't have my computer open, so I'll refer back to it later.
Okay, so yeah, I'm just reading off of what I've already written and sent, and then we can expand it.
Okay.
So, the first is the federal grant, the NHPRC Women's Project.
Mm-hmm.
And just yesterday, we finished shipping out the last batch of 450 tapes to be digitized. And so the next months going up to the end of this fiscal year will be cataloging and doing finding aids and doing publicity and promotions and fundraising for the project. The next is California Audiovisual Preservation Project. This is a project where it's very small. It's like 30 tapes, not 2,000. But we still have to do some of the metadata work with one of the archivists. The next project is the Pop-Up Archive, a nonprofit project for ingesting audio and transcribing our audio into text form using crowdsourcing. This would lead to our ability to edit and publish materials.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is the big thing that I think is might be our saving grace with funding, which is our marketing to academia. So forming relationships with academia to integrate our resource material for their curriculum. This is based off of Lamont Yeakey's initiative more than 4 years ago or so, six years ago. Where he would get us to put together 10 hours on a CD, and then his students would purchase the CD for $10 each. So we've been making approximately $3,000 per year off of Lamont's two classes in his college. Mark Torres and Edgar Toledo, staff members here, have expanded that to Latino, Chicano, Latina, Chicana studies with a man in Jose Maldonado at
Mission Valley College.
So what we've been doing in the past weeks is actually trying to expand that, and now I'm going to stop and let Mark talk about who we've met with recently and where we think we're going with our four categories of educational materials, which is Women's Project, Latino Chicana, Anti-War, Civil Rights, and LGBT. All right, Mark, go ahead.
Hi. We've identified four major parts of our collection. I think our Black History collection is one of the greatest audio collections in the world. And to have a marketing plan to put these materials into campuses across the nation, I think will be a great new revenue stream for the archives. Now, this has been, we consider this a pilot project. It's been a long time to actually be a pilot project of 6 years, but the fact is that we've been doing, we have a very small skeletal staff and, working 8 hours straight doing our specific function has kept us from expanding. In this current financial crisis, we've been forced to put some of those normal daily duties aside and focus on finding new revenue streams. And in this time period, I reached out to several professors that I know within the Latin American history discipline. One is Rudy Acuna. He's considered the grandfather of Chicano history. He started the first Chicano history program at California State University, Northridge. And we're going to have lunch with him this week. Brian and I met on Saturday with Professor Juan Gomez Quinones, who started the Latin American history program at UCLA. These are all very highly esteemed, respected professors who are going to help us get in contact with the greater Latin American history community across the nation. We've let them know what we're faced with financially and what our resources are. They both feel positive that getting our materials into the curriculum is a doable thing. They just have to figure out how that will work. Mainly, students are required, to purchase books at bookstores. Well, we've come up with two different paradigms at the two colleges that we currently work at. At California State University, Los Angeles, they have a bookstore on campus, Barnes & Noble Bookstore. So we've had to establish a relationship with them. Once that bureaucracy was established, it is now easy for us to expand that in the greater history department at Cal State LA. At Mission Valley College, the professor would just send his students to us directly. So we're figuring out how that will work with UCLA, and we'll have to do that with each campus. But if we can maintain a, $3,000 a year with, and that's just one history professor, we can expand that to additional classrooms in the four different disciplines, we feel that we can create a revenue stream that will help sustain us through these difficult financial times with the greater Pacifica network.
And there's another model of that, too, is, and we've had success with small classes of licensing our audio for the educator or college to load them up to the campus server so they could be electronically accessed by password only by the students. And then in addition to our one-on-one meetings with professors and department chairs of the studies, we have been accepted into Ms. in the Classroom, which is a program out of the Feminist Majority and Ms. Magazine that provides curriculum to over 900 classrooms and colleges across the country. So I'm meeting with the head of Ms. in the Classroom on Thursday to hammer out those details and how we're going to roll them out, and then also discuss how much licensing we can get. So right now we've identified three different models of delivery of our materials into the classroom, but what we are trying to finalize is how we can project and calculate the income that would satisfy the CFO and the board of directors. Hooray! Say hooray, somebody.
Bravo.
Hey, hooray.
The three streams are, tell me the three streams again.
The three streams are CD sales to students directly.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is CD sales through campus bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is online access licensing.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah.
Hooray!
Online
access licensing.
Okay.
I got it, Teresa.
Okay.
So that sort of wraps up our big. I think that's our main ticket to independent funding sources. That's not budgeted, and that could offset some
and
of our deficit.
And that's only really in California. Now, of course, Arizona is not interested in this, right? Because they're not interested in anything.
Well, not necessarily. Actually, one of the other ways to circumvent the judgment of a particular department head is to go to the librarians, which, of course, Teresa, you know, of course, librarian. And we've had success with our sort of grassroots campaign of our five stations donating our, you know, double copies to libraries. So we do have relationships with librarians that already have CDs in the library. But again, we're not selling and marketing that. That's our listeners doing the donation and the marketing.
Now, the recordings that we have, Teresa and the rest of everybody online, is that this is really just history. You know, different professors may want to parse that into different categories, but what we've done over the past 8 years is create four volumes of what we call our campus campaign. Our model in the past has been to have the donor pledge money for our fund drive, which we've raised several million dollars over those 8 years, and place these source materials into over 2,000 campuses across the country. But now we're shifting from that model to getting them directly into the classrooms, because it's very hard to track how well these materials are used just as additions to campus libraries. But once they become required supplemental materials to a particular classroom, now we can track that these recordings are listened to. And in many cases, when people are reading, you know, about Rosa Parks, but get to hear 40 minutes of her explaining exactly what was going on in her mind when she made that decision on the bus that one day, there's nothing like learning history with these type of source materials, and the professors know that. So, you know, we've only been concentrating on expanding this program now for a few weeks now, but already with the meetings that we've had up to this point, the professors are very positive and optimistic about getting these materials into classrooms at major universities. So your point about Arizona, our four campus campaigns are just that. They're historical documents and resource and source materials of events that took place in American history.
Yeah.
I don't think that those materials can be denied even by the most draconian of laws.
Well, if we can get them not only into the libraries but also into those courses, that'd be wonderful.
We just finished the first license of a recording that's going into an actual school textbook. You know, having them into the libraries is one thing. Having educators using them as teaching tools is another. But to actually get them in an official textbook is really a big, huge goal. And we finally did that just last week. And it's the free Huey Newton rally is going to be in a high school book textbook in history for the very first time. So it was transcribed, edited, proofed, pre-reviewed, and published.
Professors that we're meeting with, we're handing them a draft of a letter that we're going to send out to individual professors in various history departments across the country. We're getting, after our first draft, we want to see what a long-term professor thinks of our approach, and they're going to give us feedback for us to put a final draft together, and we're going to include testimonials from some of the top professors around, including no longer alive Howard Zinn. We have from Stanford University, who's in charge
of Claiborne Carson.
Claiborne Carson, who's in charge of the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. papers. Rudy Acuna, as I said before, Juan Gomez Quinones. We have reached out to a women's history department professor. What university is Bonnie?
We have a long list from Radcliffe, Barnard College. She's from Barnard College. So we're doing well.
Very impressive.
So before I move on to the other projects, does anybody have any questions about our campus initiative?
I would say, this is Janice, I would say, Brian or Mark, if you could send just to me for further addition to the minutes, the list of the colleges that you were just saying. I don't want you to rattle them off now because it takes up a lot of time.
But okay.
If you send it to me, I'll include them in the minutes.
Deal.
Okay, and are we now on income ideas?
I just wanted to finish the projects that the staff is doing, but we don't have to expand the discussion on these. The staff is really big on providing services to the stations and the premiums, particularly for this fund drive in Black History Month. So everything from identifying recordings, doing clips, doing the acquisitions, packaging them, responding to individual requests, etc. Programming development, we're always working on from the vault, new programs, new distribution, etc. And also that it ends up being our money package for our fundraising. Social media campaigns, of course, that's really important. So we're trying to increase our presence on SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. Station and public generated digitization. And in addition to grant funded projects where we digitize things, we actually get requests from authors, scholars, individuals, descendants of people who are on the radio. So we actually are doing that in-house. We also have to work on the materials that were digitized in previous grants and convert them and bring them up to speed, because the technology has evolved since the first grant we did back in the year 2000. 14 years of grants. So here's an exciting thing. There's a project called Blank on Blank, which is in the notes I've given the URL, Janice.
Okay.
This is a PBS sponsored project where they do animated films of radio interviews, and we've just been accepted, and they're doing an animated film on the Pacific interview with John Coltrane. So that should
happen. Oh, man.
I know.
Are you kidding me? Oh, man. Okay, keep going.
Yay.
Yeah, you have to go to the site and see some of their examples. We just saw their latest post with B.B. King from 1988. These animated shorts are a promotional tool that every station can take advantage of. It really puts a very easy, cool, fun perspective on our audio recordings. And the roster of people that they have worked with is stunning. It's an all-star group of names, and they're very selective They heard our John Nichols interview on the set of The Graduate when they were filming up in
Mike
Berkeley.
Nichols.
Or Mike Nichols, the film director. And I think that's what caught their attention. And then they started browsing our collection and said, holy cow, we've hit the audio gold mine. So we're really excited about this partnership. It'll be a great promotional tool for Pacifica as a whole and the archives in particular.
Yeah, good point. Our work actually does promote the five stations in Pacifica. All right, so last little bit, Kickstarter and Indiegogo.
Let me just say something that comes to my mind.
Sure.
Then I have a question.
Carnegie Mellon has a couple programs that come to mind, and one was like, you know, Randy Pausch started that stuff. It's like the Entertainment Technology Center.
Okay.
And, this thing called Building Virtual Worlds, where they have like people from different, like they have a drama person and an art person and a computer science person, and they do projects. Somehow that you might work with that.
Okay. I'm open to it, definitely. Thank you. If you can send me a little more, I wrote down the words you said, and I'll look it up, but if I have any questions, I'll get with you, Teresa.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And then just the last thing is that we're working for fundraising initiatives for not only this month, Black History Month, but next month, Women's History Month, is the big opportunity for our women's grant to distribute, do public service announcements, do soft pitching programs for the five stations, distribute non-pitching PSAs and programs to the affiliates, and of course April is National Poetry Month. And from our grant, the women's grant, we're receiving so much material on poetry and things like, you know, we have a plan to be able to distribute that and do that. So now we can go to income streams.
Wait, I have a question for you, Brian. This pop-up archive?
I'm sorry, say that again?
The pop-up archive that you mentioned, how
yeah.
does that work?
So the pop-up archive came out of UC Berkeley, and what they do is they have created a new technology and protocol to be able to take our audio, and then they do an automatic transcription, and through crowdsourcing, people can come in and verify and edit that transcription. And then when the transcription's completed, then it goes to another website where it's translated into other languages. So our first recording that was finished was Pauline Kael's last broadcast, and it's already been translated into 14 different languages. So that's pretty exciting.
Just one more word on the pop-up archive. Brian told me about this, what was it, like a year ago?
Mm-hmm. A couple years.
A couple years ago, and Pacifica Radio Archives was like the pilot collection that they were using. Brian sent me a link to the pop-up archives last week, and it blew me away because we are now in the presence of some of the great audio collections on the planet. There's NPR, there's like four links to various collections of NPR for KCRW, the BBC, and interestingly, it's basically an audio search engine, just like Google is an information search engine. The pop-up archives is an audio search engine. So I typed in Fannie Lou Hamer, and with all of those sources, the BBC, NPR, KCRW, all of these amazing resources, the Pacifica Radio Archives is the item that pops up with a link to our, not only can you hear the audio, but it has a link to our website so you can browse further. I think it's going to be a really great promotional tool for not only the archives, but you know, each of the individual stations, I really think we record 24 hours a day here at KPFK. That needs to be really done at all five Pacifica stations so that when important, you know, the Martin Luther King, the Malcolm X, the Rosa Parks, Angela Davis of tomorrow is speaking on our airwaves today, and we really need to take advantage of our digital technology. It's relatively simple to do, and we can start getting in this audio search engine phenomenon that I think is going to really bring attention to the value of our collection.
I can't emphasize that enough. I'm just really distressed to think that we're not doing that, because that means that actually we're actually cataloging things in the past better than we are doing currently.
Correct.
Except at KPFK, we're, since we're in the same building, I've set up a total recorder setup, which can be done at all of the other stations, and we're recording 24 hours a day here.
At archival quality. Standard.
And so we're coming into other income ideas, and this is where, as an affiliate station, I'm wanting to put on the table, not for full discussion, but for potentially bringing it back to the next meeting, how that same capturing of important voices can happen at affiliate stations where incredible interviews take place with history makers, and the stations don't automatically think that they could share the content with PRA.
Ah, interesting. Very interesting, Janice. I like that idea. That's got my wheels turning already.
I just interviewed the first Native American woman to receive a MacArthur Genius Award, and we've got great content on that. And 5 years from now, right now it's really big news, but in another 10 years it will be even bigger news, and I know that happens at many affiliate stations.
Right. Well, I already have some quick ideas on that, and that would sort of archives further services to the affiliates.
Services to you.
I think it's cyclical, where you provide us with, the affiliates provide us with special content that we can compile and then return back to the affiliates for premium use.
Yes.
So we get a little bit of the money, but most of the money comes back to the affiliate stations for regular fundraising. And I think it's really important that we could be the sort of hub to collect those important interviews. Like, even if we just called out for Native American interviews, with your one interview, and I can think of at least five other stations of Native American radio affiliate stations that could provide us with content and have a national compilation.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep. We're talking right now. We are just adding to the items under projects right now, right? We haven't gotten into income.
So we're into revenue streams now.
Okay.
I think that is a potential revenue stream. It would require some additional thinking on how to monetize it. I think there, so I'd be willing to think about that, and I'll just really quickly move ahead with an idea that I've talked to Brian about but haven't figured out how to initiate it, and that is to have once a month, a reader's club, whereby their donors would have the opportunity to subscribe to receiving once a month a specific content from PRA that they would pay an annual fee for, and just like once a month you get a particular magazine, once a month they'd get a flash drive of a specific topic. Maybe it's Black History. Maybe it's BGLT. I think the various combinations could be really boxed well, and for people like myself, I'd be the first person to sign up. Is it marketable to others? I'm not sure, but that's the pet project I've been talking to Brian about that I would put some time into determining if it's got some backbone.
Bravo.
Yeah, we definitely think it has legs, but it's just going to try. It's down to those logistics. But I think we could definitely talk it through and work out some kinks to come up with a pilot.
I want to go back, though, to income streams and just go from the top. Have we covered The current ones, central services, PRA fund drive, premiums, sales to the public, donations and community events, and sales to academia. Have we covered those all yet?
I think so, yeah.
Okay,
this is Shireen.
Mm-hmm.
I want to suggest that we start looking at where, I mean, the archives are great. that's not a question. The question is how we're going to keep you running. So at the PNB, I had brought a motion. I don't have the language in front of me. I'm no longer, I'm not on email right now. But essentially asking the stations, who we know have their own financial problems, but asking them to prioritize the payments to the archives. So I guess the question I would ask you is the motion that the proviso actually asked for a cut, what was it, like 9,000? I sent it out to people before I signed off.
Yeah, it was at 9,000 per month.
Right. Which is, you know, small change for some people, but real jobs for other people. So the question is, how do we keep you going until some of the monies come in? When do the, one, we know the central services are in arrears on the part of a number of stations. The other question is whether or not the budgeted central services are enough. And the third question for me is when do those ads that you placed, the two ads that you mentioned to us, when do those hit?
The Nation email and the Mother Jones already hit. The Nation magazine went out 3 weeks ago. Mother Jones just went out last Friday. The Nation mailer did not do very well this month, this time around, and I think it was because it was January, right after the new year.
Where is this on the agenda? What is this?
It's on the income streams down third from the bottom, where it says email campaigns, the Nation, Mother Jones,
the National. Okay, got it. Go ahead.
And the Mother Jones just went out last Friday, so we've gotten a handful of donations, but hopefully it just, those things take a little longer to see revenue in. But I'm not necessarily sold on them, frankly.
This is Janice. I haven't seen the ads, but I can tell you that at the station level, we have discontinued offering Mother Jones or the Nation as premiums because they have become less and less valued by our listeners. And so I also wonder how relevant that is going to be to reaching people who become very digital in their activities and who are not looking at either one of those publications online.
Right. These were sponsored messages to the Mother Jones readers and as a rented list. So, like Mother Jones, we did 75,000 emails, and we're getting stats back of who opened it and clicked it, but not enough money's coming in yet.
Okay.
So sales of licensing for film, books, TV, news, performance. So that licensing is actually increasing because of our presence from the Vault and from the National Archives grant. Major donors, we did get one major donor who is really helping us out a great deal, but is hesitant to give the kind of money he's willing to give us because he's fearful of Pacifica taking the money. So basically he said he was willing to donate $50,000, but he could only give us $10,000 and is waiting to see what Pacifica does.
May I offer a suggestion?
Yes.
I would offer a suggestion of having his attorney write a document that indicates that this is a restricted fund and used for any other purposes would have legal ramifications and the possibility of having another entity hold and manage the money until Pacifica gets their act together. And as a board member, I don't have any problems with saying that. Having an affiliate station be a liaison might be helpful, or having it given to one of the foundations in your city that does donor-advised funds, and they could then dole it out directly to the national office every month. Here's a possibility of just thinking about that. If he made it into $9,000 payments once a month, that would get rid of the whole issue that we're talking about now. So $9,000 to $50,000, and it would only cover, it'd be restricted, and it could only be used for PRA.
Right. I would definitely go with the idea to put it into another entity's control. We've actually already seen here at Pacifica, and just this actually is happening now, where a donor had that restriction by the attorney, and the money was borrowed anyway.
Yes.
So that account
I'm aware of that.
Is
yeah,
zero. I'm not saying any names or any stations, but I've already seen that restriction doesn't really count at Pacifica, so I would not recommend that to the major donor out of respect to his willingness to give us money.
Well, I can't do this tonight. I would ask if the staff could look in your area for foundations that manage donor advised funds.
Okay, I wrote it down.
That means that it goes directly to the foundation, and the foundation then specifically would write a check to Pacifica Radio Archives.
Great. Yeah, well, I'll definitely contact you later about that, Janice. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we can talk offline about that.
All right, and I kind of think that covers us. We're having a couple community events in March in Washington, D.C. at Bus Boys and Poets, and here in Los Angeles on Fort Anais Nin. I mean, other potential income streams, we've already talked about academia. We've talked about, the affiliates. We do realize that From the Vault is distributed to the affiliate network, and between 25 and 40 stations take From the Vault, but we don't receive any of the income from the affiliate fees. So I'm suggesting that could be reviewed and see if
that... Say that one more time.
The Pacifica Radio Archives is important to the affiliate program, and we produce and distribute From the Vault to the affiliates, and more than 26 stations on an average get it on a weekly basis, and sometimes up to 45 stations use it. But we're not receiving any funds to produce that show for the affiliates out of the affiliate program. So without hopefully not causing any trouble with anybody else's expenses, but I think it's appropriate to review that the affiliate fees, that a portion of those fees come to the archives for production of From the Vault, which I'm thinking 10% of the affiliate fees would be appropriate. I mean, that would also save us a great deal in our crisis.
I would second that emotion. I'm not sure that I could give you a hard answer on the 10%. I think it really would break down to each of the individual services affiliate stations are receiving, and giving a monetary value to that. If there are five things that KFAI receives, and oddly enough, I almost called today about From the Vault, but we were able to fill the hole some other way. However, we do use it, and if we could determine what percentage of the services affiliate stations are receiving and figure out that pie, I don't think it would... I can't speak for Ursula. However, I think members of the affiliate task force would find that to be a reasonable request to discuss.
Excellent. Thank you.
So tell me, back up to the, where you said $575,000 income at the stations per year from premium development, how much of the $575,000 have you actually received in the past year?
Right, yeah, so let me clarify that, because it actually is pretty confusing and difficult to wrap around. I think we can quickly describe it. When we provided a premium to the stations, we charge $3 for every CD, whether it's a one-hour CD or a 10-hour MP3 CD.
Mm-hmm.
And the 10% rule for Pacifica is that if it's a $3 cost, they should be pitching it at $30 for a premium. So using that formula, mm-hmm. we take all the income we receive at that $3 per CD amount, we do the 10% multiplication, and come up with that number. So last fiscal year, based on that formula, the five Pacifica stations raised over $575,000 from our premiums and our premium manufacturing, development, labeling, and duplicating.
Mm-hmm.
So that so it's really, really hard, because at the station budget, the station reports it's only booked as listener support. You know, everything and all ends listener support, and it's not broken out. Now, at the national office, they also can't see it because the 10% rule is not in the budgets. So, and now I'm actually going to even say something more extraordinary, is that the $575,000 is a very conservative estimate. I think it's more like $1 million, because if you think about it, a $3 cost, I've never heard of a station offering a $30 premium for a CD. It's always minimum $50 or up to $150. So
correct.
I'm thinking that, right now with the Martin Luther King materials and the Black History Month materials, they're doing it at more like 2% rather than 10%. So I'm still saying, like, if you start cutting our staff and our production services and the people that do this work, you're not just cutting out the $3 per CD income to the archives, but you're cutting out the $1 million for the network. And I can't seem to get the management to really understand that and tell me back again that they comprehend it.
Okay, but if
I got it.
But if I take $575,000 and I divide it by $3.
So no, you divide it by 10%. I mean, you divide it by 10%.
But you're saying for every CD that they send out, the stations give you $3.
Well,
they're supposed to give them $3, Teresa, but they aren't.
Right.
And in fact, the stations are garnering more from the CDs that are being produced by Pacifica Radio Archives based on how much they actually, quote-unquote, charge the listeners for getting the CD. For example, at our station, you never receive a premium for anything less than $50.
Mm-hmm.
So at the $3 basis, the station is receiving more profit. Let's talk at five stations. They're receiving more profit than what this 10% rule is even
estimating. Yeah, I'd like to clarify this with Ryan, though. You're saying that no matter if it's a thumb disc?
No, that's actually a different rate. We charge a little bit more because that costs us a little more. We actually distribute the jump drives depending on if they're 4 gig, 8 gig, or 16 gig.
Okay.
That actually is a higher amount, and that's included.
But you're saying just only the CDs and MP3s that are on CDs or on DVDs or whatever you call it,
yeah,
on the disc, you only get $3 no matter whether they sell them for $50 or $90 or $120.
That's correct.
Okay, so if, to use your calculation, $575,000, I would divide that by 3. So you've literally sent out 191,000 items.
It has to be divided.
It doesn't work like that.
Let me just really quickly. You have to divide it by 10% because in that $575,000 is not only the $3 for the CD, but $5 for some thumb drives, $8 for other thumb drives, and $10 for other jump drives. So there are varying price points. Mm-hmm. In addition to the $3, it's not just the $3, but the point Brian was trying to make is if they do distribute a CD, we charge them $3. But a jump drive, those have different values, and that's included in the $5.75. So it's more accurate. What we did was we took the total orders in for jump drives and for CDs, and the amount that we made, we multiplied
by 10.
By 10, and that came up to $575,000.
Teresa, I'm going to ask for, I don't know the parliamentarian rule here, but you're asking for more detail than I think all of us want to have at this time, and I actually have a hard stop at 9 o'clock. We've not gotten to what our next steps are going to be, which we'd want to have, given that there is a deadline on Friday of action from this staff. So we need to get to that.
Okay, I would like to get to that later. I certainly will.
Thank you.
I would like to have a separate conversation because I think this is a where, as Brian mentioned, there should be some concern over us asking for $9,000 cut when we're making profits here, and I think that's something that really needs to be adjusted. Okay, we kind of went down to National Poultry Month, and then we jumped back up to this. We're down to the end of income streams, so we're going into, have we done potential income streams yet?
No, we haven't.
All right, go for it.
I think we actually have talked about them already. I just wanted to, we talked about academia, affiliates, Kickstarter, the monthly PSAs, which is basically Black History Month, Women's History Month, Poetry Month. I want to say, like, when the Women's Project is over at the end of October, the whole point of digitizing 2,000 women's programs is so that we could license and market and make revenue off of those recordings through academia and elsewhere. The last one is the 2016 Pacifica Cruise. Just take that off the table for now. It's just not doable in this world today. And all right, so we're done with that. And then just the current financial status, I just set the details of who owes what, how much we've made in our fund drives, and that's it.
So we need to come away with recommendations and or a motion back to the PNB to do something that would prevent the first month $9,000 being cut in March.
Can I suggest that the motion may be to allow the archives an extension to identify and calculate these potential revenue streams that might save us? And I would ask for an extension to April 15th, one, tax day, two, Pacifica birthday, and three, it's 2 weeks after Women's History Month, when we would have a better idea of how the projects that we're doing with Women's History Month are going.
I would ask you, Brian, to write that up and send it to me. I'll add it in the minutes. And although I have never had any luck getting things on the PNB agenda, there may be others on this call who are more successful in doing that, and I will support this motion. I would also be very happy to talk to you offline to work towards getting one of the potential sources to be the donor and finding ways that it doesn't get swallowed up by something else.
Well, great, Janice. Thank you so much for that. I think that you'll be a great help because the major donorship world is brand new and is it was fine. We received $20,000 from him over the past few years, but it's still rather awkward, and I
yep.
tread lightly whenever I meet with them. You
yep.
know, it's always that thing, it's like, I don't want to screw it up.
I understand. So, Serene and Teresa, are you amenable to Brian formulating that motion and forwarding it to us for review and potential relay to the next PNB meeting, because otherwise Friday will come and go and they'll be screwed.
Well, I'm saying he ought to make the motion now, present it now, and we approve it. And
okay.
And we move heaven and earth to get it on the agenda of the national board.
Okay.
All right. So the motion was to move or to extend the deadline to April 15, 2015. And did you want to? You said it better than I did, of course. Ryan, can you say it again?
Yeah. Let me see. The Archives Task Force requests that the PNB motion of February 8th regarding the archives funding, that motion be the directive be extended to April 15th to give the archives staff more time to identify potential revenue.
Okay.
Friendly amendment?
Yes.
To give archive staff more time to finalize existing sources with specific specific dates for income to be received.
That's confusing.
In fact, someone says that's confusing.
I am easily confused. Yeah,
I'll tell you the reason why I'm suggesting something a little more specific. Extending the deadline to April 15th doesn't convey to me a reason why I would offer that extension. However, you've given tons of information in this meeting for which I've taken notes, and you've identified at least two opportunities that most likely could be a deal. You've identified two opportunities where you could close a deal by April 15th. And so I think it's a stronger motion to indicate or to suggest that you are going to finalize plans with sources that have 90% probability of success by April 15th, and subsequent revenue would be coming into the archives by May 1st.
Let me see if this resolved that the Archives Task Force move that the PNB motion of February 8, 2015 regarding archives funding be extended to the deadline to be extended to April 15, 2015 for more time to finalize existing sources with specific dates for income to be received.
Yes.
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
I have a question.
I'll second that.
Okay, I just have one minute, Serene.
Okay.
I just have one little question about the word deadline. Seems like it should be in there. Resolve that the Archive Task Force moved at the PNB motion of with a deadline of February, right?
Yes.
See, the deadline is February 13th. I got it extended because I wasn't notified it until January 13th.
Yeah.
Okay, with the deadline of February 13th. Okay, I'm going to read it one more time. Resolved that the Archive Task Force move that the PNB motion with the deadline of February 13, 2015 regarding archives funding be extended to April 15, 2015 for more time to finalize existing sources with specific dates for income to be received. Maybe saying task force move, resolve that the task force move, maybe not necessary, resolve that the PNB motion for the task force deadline of February 13, 2015, something like that?
I think that's getting too complicated, Teresa. I think the first way you read it was more direct and understandable.
Okay, well, I'm going to send this to you right now, Janice. And
okay.
I guess the question is, oh, man, Serene, you had a question.
Okay, so where do you guys stand now in terms of being able to meet payroll?
We're skidding by. I know that we've got payroll for this next payroll, but after that, we don't know where the income's coming from unless the stations pay up central services or some premium bills. So that's where we are with that. I know that the stations right now owe us $40,000, so that's that can definitely cover us through April if everybody pays.
Okay. Would you say that in general the central services amount in the current budget are, well, I mean, there's never enough money, right?
Right. Yeah, the central services were reduced this year from 2.5% to 2% with a flat fee, and that was the CFO that changed that formula. And if you ask me if it's enough, no, it's not enough because we have a huge thing. But I did look at that budget, you know, and I was satisfied with that budget as it was passed with those central services. And that was the bare minimum, bare bones, how I thought I could make this unit run for this year under the central services. So, yeah, if we get the central services, I think I can work with it.
Okay, and just one more question. There was a reference to, was it $60,000 or $90,000? I sent you guys the note, but I don't have it in front of me anymore. In terms of a shortfall in, from expected fundraising?
I think that was from our November drive when we had a goal of $150,000 and then we only came in at $78,000. So that was the shortfall.
Okay.
We've been making that up. The Martin Luther King holiday, when we did the Martin Luther King package, we made over $9,600 on that single day, single premium. With soft pitching, it wasn't even a full fundraise.
I'm a little bit confused. It says on the notes, it says November 18th/19, $78,598 100% pledge fulfillment rate. Goal was $125,000.
I know I typed $125,000 wrong. It was $150,000, but the rest of it is true.
All right. So you only made. I guess what I was confused was what that was from the 100%.
100%. It just means that $78,000 was pledged that day, and we actually collected all $78,000. There's not a single donation, not a single pledge, not a single bill me that has not been collected. Believe you me, Mariana Berkovich has been collecting. We just got our last week from the November drive because she follows up.
She's the terminator.
Following up on pledges really helps.
Yeah, Sean and Mariana call, mail. They write letters.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, gang. I have to leave in 5 minutes. The point that I think you're arriving at, Serene, is possibly an additional motion encouraging or moving or insisting that the stations pay monies due as opposed to having to delete $9,000 off of the PRA's budget. Is that where you're headed with your question?
Well, I would more or less, I would ask that the stations at least get in touch and arrange to make payments, even if they cannot send the whole sum, you know, in a week, that they at least say, okay, we can send this amount, you know, in 2 weeks and this amount, because everybody's going into their fund drive. Money hopefully will start coming in, except KT just finished, but they're current anyway. You know, so that you guys have an idea of what's coming. Knowing what you're owed is not particularly helpful if you don't know when the people intend to pay.
Thank you.
Can you make a motion, Serene, that, well, maybe I'll try this. Also at the Affiliates Task Force
resolve
that the five network stations make immediate contact with the Pacifica Radio Archives staff to present a payment arrangement for the next quarter, allowing the PRA to better manage their limited resources.
Is there any restriction on what that payment arrangement would be? Because I can easily see someone saying, just we can't afford it.
Yeah, that's what they're doing now.
Well, I'm not sure.
Is KPFT doing that?
No, KPFT is always paid on time. We don't even have to ask them to pay. They're fabulous. We love KPFT.
And how about K?
They're behind.
And you're doing
but they're
all
willing.
That work
for K. You know, Zuberi, we talked to Zuberi, and Mariana Berkovich is quarter time in the business office at KPFK. So we definitely know when there's money. Zuberi is willing to help us out, but they're in real trouble.
Well, I mean, it comes back down to why should PRA reduce their staff when, in fact, the stations owe considerable amounts of money? Why doesn't the station reduce their staff and pay their debts?
Yes, that is really the hard question that's to be asked.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important. I'm not sure that it's useful to put one group of staff against another.
I don't either, Serene, but I'm trying to come up with a solution.
No, I understand. I'm not saying that was your intent, but we have to be careful in terms of how we phrase it. At BAI, we already have a very, very short staff, or small staff, I should say, who are many of them doing several jobs. So
I understand.
We can't cut any further, but I do know the money has to be paid, and some contact should be had. I have another shoot.
Well, let's vote on this one. It says resolve that the five network stations make immediate contact with Pacifica Archive staff to present payment arrangement for the next quarter, allowing PRA to better manage their limited resources.
Is there any way to strengthen the payment arrangement thing?
Thank you for mentioning that. I don't even really know that we have to say something about PRA better managing their limited resources. Basically, the stations, no matter what, they need to, pay.
I guess the only way to strengthen that would be to say something like stations make immediate contact with PRA and pledge to pay 2% each month of the amount that's currently due. I mean, to come up with some specific dollar amount.
Let me ask you this: why can't we ask Serene. The? Why can't we ask the? Just a minute, Serene. Why can't we ask the CFO to make this happen?
No. The reason that the stations are paying PRA directly now is that for the past 4 or 5 years, the stations were paying central services were sending it to national, and it wasn't getting to PRA. That's why I think it was last year. Was it last year, Brian, that we made the change?
Yes,
right. PRA would get the money directly. Are you guys billing the stations?
No, it's never been set up as a bill, but it's been talked about. Like, we actually had business managers that didn't know that they were supposed to pay it because they never saw an invoice.
Yeah,
but those were like temporary part-time
people. Now that it's a fixed amount, you guys should just build it.
Yeah, that's the
month.
Thing. It's in the budget. It's a fixed amount.
Yeah, but I'm saying, it's in the budget. You got to knock on the door if you want someone to open it. So I would say make sure they get a bill every month.
Well,
all right.
Instead, what if we say resolve that the five network stations make immediate contact with Pacifica Archives staff to present payment for the next quarter, comma, allowing PRA to better manage their limited resources. Just take out the word arrangement.
I like that.
Arrangement. Well, yeah, but you can't tell somebody give money that they don't believe they have. you know, and we have to be careful, too. We're not running the stations, right? We're making recommendations and policy.
Yeah, I like arrangement. I like payment arrangement because it's kind of the language that they seem to use. The attitude seems to be of, you know, the kid in college who owes money to the landlord will pay his car payment, but family, which they consider Pacifica Radio Archives to be family, they don't pay them back ever. They put that off. They need to know this is a professional obligation. They need to come up with a payment arrangement if they haven't got the money to pay them, and a plan so that there's an end date.
Yeah, you know, the other thing is it could also say to make payment arrangements, and should the arrangements not be met in the first quarter, services would be discontinued.
Yep, we actually had to do that this fund drive, and we had to tell a station we could not provide them with any Black History Month materials because they weren't paying the central services or the premium bills previously. And they came up with some money within a day.
So let's add that to it.
Yeah, but
also, since you mentioned policy, Teresa, you know, the 2% central service is the policy. That's what the people who own this network, meaning the board of directors, voted 40 years ago. But percentage of the listener donations goes to this particular unit. So I think the policy is already in place. Maybe the motion should be to enforce the standing policy of 2% of the listeners' donations goes to the archives, and that should be enforced on a monthly basis.
You guys, I've got a hard stop. I'm sorry, because I have to be somewhere at 9:30.
Okay. Thank you, Janice.
Are we going to vote? I'd like to try to vote on this last motion.
Okay. Well, Janice, how do you want it worded so you can?
I'm sorry, Janice.
Yes.
Is there language in there that says asking the stations to prioritize their payments to PRA? Can we insert that?
I'd be happy to insert that. Prioritize their payments to PRI in addition
PRA.
To, sorry, to PRA in addition to contacting staff to solidify payment arrangements.
Well, this is what I have. Resolve that the five network stations make immediate contact with Pacifica Archives staff to present payment arrangements for the next quarter, allowing PRA to better manage their limited resources. And then I have the words enforce standing policy of 2%. I also have prioritize their payments to PRA. So
let the secretary be the secretary.
Okay, go ahead, secretary. How do you want to do that?
From what I'm hearing, and it's five of us that are going to vote on this, the one option is to prioritize. The other option is to refer to the standing policy. I'm not in favor of the standing policy because that hasn't helped. It hasn't done anything to date. And I would like to go to prioritizing payment and limiting it to the next quarter, March, April, May. Sorry, April, May, June.
So resolve that the five, correct, so insert what words you want, Janice. Resolve that the five network stations make immediate contact with Pacifica Archive staff to prioritize their payments to PRA?
To indicate the period, to indicate the process in which stations will prioritize payments to PRA. Through the second quarter.
Period. Okay.
Yes.
So, here it is. Resolved that the five network stations make immediate contact with Pacifica Archive staff to indicate the process in which stations will prioritize payments to PR through the second quarter. All right?
Is there a second on the motion?
Second, I second that.
Okay. Do we want to give any specific deadline? We just said immediate contact. Do you want to? Do we want to say by blah blah blah?
Let's say by March 1st, because that. We want them to do the second quarter. So by February the 21st.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to send this to you, and do we have any objections to this?
No.
Okay, then this passes without objection. All right. Thank you, Janice.
Thank you, everyone. I will check in with you, Teresa, probably.
Is there any date best for you to meet in the future?
Tuesdays are days that I typically don't have to cover events at night, so this would be okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. So, we're on item number 6, which is National Finance Committee Crisis Provisos.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Well, we just addressed that. That was the motion.
Okay, so we're done.
The $9,000 cut.
Oh, okay.
So actually, these two items were under that.
Yeah.
Okay, I will put them under that then. And then it says next meeting. Do you want to propose a meeting date? Next 1 month from today would be the 10th of
March.
March.
That would be
okay,
fine.
The problem with that is that Adriana Casanave, who is on this committee, is also on finance, which is where she is now, I suspect.
Mm-hmm.
The first Tuesday of the month is governance. So you're suggesting the first, Teresa? What's the date you offered? Did you say the third?
This is the second Tuesday, which I guess finance is...
No, I thought I just heard you say the third. Did I?
No, I said the 10th, which is 1 month from today.
Okay, the 10th is going to be finance. The third is going to be governance.
And what's the first Tuesday?
That's the third.
The first Tuesday is governance.
Third.
The second Tuesday is finance.
17.
And what'd you say is the third Tuesday? I just thought you just said the governance is...
17.
St. Patrick's Day.
Governance is the
governance
first
means twice
Tuesday,
a month?
Which in March is the third day.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's what I meant when I said the third.
So you want to meet on St. Patrick's Day the 17th?
Okay. So the third Tuesday of the month is the 17th. Do we want this task force to meet on third Tuesdays?
Yeah. Can we do an email poll of people?
Yeah.
I would like to try to go with this. I mean, we've got everybody but Adriana. We're making adjustments for Adriana. Jim Krafka is either going to be working or not. So the only persons we're checking on are with Frank or Lamont. Can we just call them and ask them if they would go with the 17th?
I would strongly urge that we do an email poll. The population of this task force might very well be changing when the PNB holds its elections for committees and task forces, and local station board people may be coming aboard as a result of theirs. So I don't see there's any reason to lock in a permanent meeting at this point. We're suggesting the 17th. We'll poll people and see if it works. If not, we'll come up with another date.
Okay, well, we then should be you. Because I'm not excited about polling people by email.
About which I'm not excited, but that's not a problem.
Okay, because I...
Are we locked into Tuesdays?
No. But if we pick a different date, then we have to start consulting the KPFTX calendar.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a moving mobile.
It's not a big deal. We'll work it out.
Yeah.
And I know it's early where you guys are, but I tell you, I'm crashing.
Okay. Well, go get sleep, Serene, and thank you all very much.
Sure.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thank you, Brian.
Bye.
Oh, and Brian DeShazer, before you go, I think maybe you should send me another email so I'm sure of your corrected email. And perhaps while you're at it, if you have an email for Frank Lefevre and Lamont, just so I have them. I think I have everybody else's email.
Okay, I'll get you what I can.
And I will try to get you that information about Carnegie Mellon.
Great.
Okay?
Thanks everybody.
A billion, billion.
Billion, bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye.
You're the first person in this conference.